Hello, world. This is Kara.
And this is Elizabeth.
And you're listening to In Transit, Two Triathletes Take on the World. So, this is post-marathon show.
I am very excited to hear your race report, Kara.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of glad that I recorded a little snippet right before the race and then right after. I'm kind of glad I recorded.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I did. So,
good.
I'm glad that I did that because I feel like I've, everybody keeps asking me how it was, and I'm kind of burnt out on telling people. So, I can give you some, summary things, but you can listen to these clips in just a minute to get a better idea. So,
okay, cool.
Okay, so we're just going to go ahead and play my before marathon and after marathon clips that I recorded on marathon day. So here you go.
All right, it is race morning, marathon morning that is, and I'm driving to the start line. It's 5:50 a.m. It starts at 6:30, so 40 minutes to go. Kind of nervous. I don't know what to expect here. As far as how hilly the course is going to be, I mean, I looked at the thing online, but I don't know. It's hard to tell by those things. And it's a little cold right now, but I have a tank top on, so I'm a little cold. It's 42 degrees, but I'm sure it's still dark out, so I'm sure as soon as the sun comes out, it'll warm up. Anyway, I decided I'm not going to bring my recorder or anything or camera on the run because I just don't want to deal with them, and I don't want to have stuff on me that's going to bother me, so I'm not going to do that. And I guess that's all. Pretty much, this is pre-race, and I'll record some more at the end, and I'm out for now. Okay, so the marathon is over, and I finished. Yes, that's right, I finished, but I didn't do exactly as good as I was wanting to. I didn't have a specific time, but I kind of had a ballpark, and I wanted to be around 4:30. I ended up, thankfully, at least breaking 5 hours, so I'm, barely. I think I made it in 4:59, so according to the Garmin, that is. I'll have to wait for their official results once they're on the internet. But here's kind of the quick rundown. Okay, so first of all, like I was saying on the previous recording, it was a little cold this morning, but as soon as we got running, I was so thankful that I hadn't worn more clothes. I had on, mesh shorts and a tri tank top. And actually, it was cool because it was the new tri club I joined. It was their, the club tri top, so that was cool. And it was great because it has a pocket in the back, so I used that to store my goos, extra goos. And I took two extra goos with me, and I took some chapstick. I didn't end up using the chapstick at all, though. And then, so the first, I think at least 16 miles, I ran it straight through, and I felt pretty darn good. Then it was like I hit the wall at about almost 17 miles, and from 17 to 26 was, it was hard. And also, another side note, Elizabeth originally was the one that picked this, and I never looked too close at the little picture of, if it's hilly or not, whatever you call those things. Can't think of it right now. but I remember her saying, oh, it's pretty flat. This will be a good one. I'm like, okay, good. Well, yeah, it wasn't flat pretty much at all. So, it was either pretty much you're going up or you're going down. I mean, the downhills were nice, and there were a few little flatter sections, but it was pretty freaking hilly. So that was a challenge, and I had done a little bit of hill training, but not any extensive hill training in, up to this race. So, anyway, I'm sitting in the hotel parking lot because I just took a quick shower and I had to check out because I'm going to have to go straight back to New Haven because I have scuba class tomorrow. Anyway, so between 17 and 26 was really hard. There, like, really around 18 or 19, I was thinking things like, do I even want to finish this? Should I sag in? Why am I doing this? How much does this matter to me? Those kind of questions. So, and then, at around 20 miles or so, there was this guy that came up behind me, for the last about 9 miles was doing, like, walk-run intervals, and I was literally, like, okay, run from this telephone pole to the next telephone pole, and then, like, every other, I was like, run to the next telephone pole, walk to the next telephone pole, like, short segments, because I was hurting pretty bad. Nothing, no area specifically, but around that time, my stomach was feeling a little queasy, and I actually, okay, so this guy comes up behind me, older guy, and he said he started talking to me, and I was walking at that point, and he's like, oh, come on, just jog a little with me. I'm like, okay. So I jogged, and he was doing a thing where every couple minutes he would jog and then walk and jog and walk. So that worked pretty good. His intervals were a little better than the way I was doing it. And he also gave me an extra goo and some, Powerade or whatever he had in his bottle. And I'm not sure if that was a good idea to take that or not. I think I needed something, but my stomach was just not feeling very good. So a little bit after he gave me that, it was like, ugh, just a little bit of it came up. Like, so basically I threw up a little bit, but not, it was like not a lot, but it still wasn't good. And that was right at about 20 something. So then, finally, he went on ahead of me because I was just like, after that I was like, ugh, you know, sorry, go ahead, thanks for your help, you know. And then there are a few more big hills, and between 20 and 24 or so, it was pretty sunny, and actually it had warmed up. This morning it was 42, and it warmed up to it, like, right now I'm sitting in my car and it says it's 74, so in the sun it was actually pretty hot. And thankfully, I had put sunscreen on. And then, in the shade, it was really nice. And when there was a breeze, that was nice. So, somehow I made it. In the last several miles, I kind of got a second wind. And I also was kind of watching my watch. And I knew my original 4:30 was gone. But I was like, okay, I can probably make this under 5 hours, so that was my new goal, and that helped me push a little more. So, anyway, I'm not totally excited about my performance, because I felt like in training I did a little better, but, you know, you never know exactly what to expect on race day. And overall, the course was good, pretty hilly, it was really pretty, and the weather was pretty good for most of it, but it, like I said, it got a little warm toward the end, which, that was another factor. I've been training in pretty cold weather in New Haven, so having any slight heat was kind of a shock. So, another thing was that I was, toward the second half, I started getting two water to the aid stations and pouring one over my head and drinking the other one, which really helped cool me down. So, alright, I guess I'll wrap this up for now. Oh, one more thing, just real quick about my nutrition. For breakfast, I got up and I ate a sesame seed bagel, I drank some Powerade, and I took a goo about 45 minutes before the start of the race. And then during the race, I brought two goos with me, but they also had goos at mile 13 and mile 18, which that's what they said, and they really did, so that was good that they didn't run out or anything. And I have to say it was well supported. They had people on bicycles that were riding along too, and it would give you extra goos if you need them, and water and stuff, so that was really good, and just kind of, you know, motivating you. So, so that was what they had for breakfast, and then at about mile 7, I managed to stomach a goo, and at mile, let's see, about 13, maybe 14, I had another goo, and then at mile 18, and then I had I think it was 7, and then like 16, and then about 19, when that guy gave me I only had 3 goos during the race. And then as far as liquid, I alternated between every other aid station, I drank water or Gatorade, so just alternated, water, Gatorade, and that was pretty good. Some of the Gatorade was really diluted, though, but anyway, and then the last couple miles, I just was drinking water because my stomach was feeling weird, and I knew I didn't have too much farther to go, so that is the gist of how the marathon went. Not sure I'll be doing another one too soon, maybe someday, maybe not for another year or two, but I learned a lot, and I'm glad I at least finished, even though it wasn't as fast as I would have liked. So overall, good race in some ways and bad in others.
Okay, so yeah, that kind of gives you a better idea of how I was feeling both before and after. And now that it has been, I guess what I can talk about, though, that wasn't included in Eclipse is my recovery. And my official times. I use my Garmin, and according to my watch, I did it in 4:59:29. But according to my chip time, my time was 5:01:18, I think. So, I don't know.
Yeah, my times are always a little off of my chip times for some reason. I don't know why.
I wouldn't care except that puts me over 5 hours, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean...
Yeah, 2 minutes usually wouldn't matter until you're teetering on the edge of a whole number, you know?
Exactly. So, I mean...
Yeah.
I guess I did approximately 5 hours. Let's just put it that way.
Right. That's great, though. It really is. That's great. Especially for your first marathon. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and, you know... Now that I've had time to reflect, my initial reaction was, here, I guess I could sum it up in just a few things. Basically that it was a tough race. I was glad that I finished, but also I was a little bummed that I struggled so much toward the end. So I kind of felt like maybe I wasn't as prepared as I could have been, or, I don't know. I guess I was kind of in the state, like, I wonder what I could have done differently to have prepared myself better, or to have adapted better, I guess, to the conditions.
Right.
I think
it was a really hilly course, though, too, and so you probably didn't hill train as much as the course actually probably required.
Yeah, and that's one of the lessons learned, is just to do more research on the course, and I also think that maybe... Next time, I will pick a little bit flatter course. Or if I do Charlottesville again, then at least I know what to expect, so I can do better training for it. And I guess if you can't get to the course to actually check it out, then at least kind of ask around as much as you can. And I don't know, just do more research, I guess. I mean, I did a little research, but not enough, I guess. You know?
Yeah. I feel totally responsible for that, because I'm the one who picked out that race, and I think the day that I picked it out, I was looking at 4 or 5 different races, and I got the route wrong. I was thinking it was a flat, nice course, but it was totally not that, and I feel horrible about that.
Well, but I had to say one thing, at least the course was really pretty, though. Like,
That's good.
It was a really cool course, and actually, after, I think it was after we both registered, New York Times came out with a list of the top 5 destination marathons, and it was one of them. So
I knew that. It has been for the last several years.
Oh, has it? Okay, I didn't know if that was new or not. Okay. Yeah, I would say it was definitely a good, like, I guess I would just not necessarily recommend it as a beginner marathon. But it was good. It was a really great marathon. I mean, I would probably do another marathon, like kind of a flatter course first, and then consider maybe doing that one again once I have another one under my belt that is a little more manageable, maybe. You know.
Right.
So, but I would.
Okay.
I would definitely recommend it though. I mean, it especially not as a beginner, but. If you're into marathons and are looking for something different, check it out. And well, actually, they also have a half marathon, which would be really cool too. So I mean, it would be a good challenging half marathon. So even if you're not up for the full, then check it out. So yeah,
cool. Good.
Oh, I forgot to mention too. For about halfway through, for a few miles, it takes you off road, like onto a dirt. Road, like a dirt trail kind of. Yeah, that was like really.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, I mean it was like a dirt road, like wide enough for a car to drive on, you know. But it felt like you were running on a trail, and there was a lot of shade and stuff. So that was really neat. I had never run a road race that went off road for part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially a marathon. That's interesting that they did that.
Yeah, so I thought that was really neat, actually. But,
What about your recovery?
Oh, yeah. So, I didn't know what to expect as far as how my body was going to handle it, you know, because the farthest I had run prior was 20 miles. But also, when you are under race conditions, you push yourself more and, you know, recovery
definitely.
Is always harder than from a training run. So,
right.
Well, my... being the crazy person that I am, since Elizabeth couldn't make it, I just decided to drive back drive back to New Haven because I had scuba class on Sunday and I was going to miss it. But I was going to just miss scuba class, but I thought, well, you know, if I'm just here by myself, I can make it back to scuba because scuba was at Sunday at 1:00. So, I mean, plenty of time to get back for it, even if I didn't make it all the way back on that Saturday. You know, I'd have that Sunday morning. So my plan was, okay, I'm just going to go back to the hotel, take a shower real quick because I would have to check out real quick after that anyway, and then just start driving. And if I got tired, then I would pull over right away, you know, like, even if I only drove a half hour, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah.
So here's what I did. I started driving, and after about an hour, I was getting a little tired. So I pulled over, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to, like, sleep, and however long I sleep, whatever, you know? Well,
right. Good.
So I slept, and I woke up, and it had only been 15 minutes. But I felt like, I felt like so rested, you know? And...
Power nap.
Yeah, literally a power nap. And I was able to drive the whole rest of the way back to New Haven. Like, I didn't have to...
Did you get on stretch or anything? Like,
yeah, I mean...
That's crazy.
I did. I mean, I stopped as much as I wanted. I stopped at rest stops to just go to the bathroom. I had to get gas, I think, just once. But I stopped at... I probably stopped a total of maybe 4 or 5 times.
Just to
kind of keep moving around, but I never felt drowsy again. It was the weirdest thing. I mean, I had run
that
a freaking, I ran a freaking marathon that morning. I slept, you know, I started driving, slept for 15 minutes and was able to keep driving. And the other thing is I got almost all the way back home and I had to go through New York and I had to go over the George Washington Bridge, which is crazy, insane. And this is like, 8 or 9 o'clock at night, I thought, oh, it's not going to be that bad. Well, apparently, I don't know what I'm talking about, because from what I hear, since, it's always bad. It's no matter what time of day. So,
oh,
And from that point, you know, with no traffic, it would be maybe an hour drive or an hour and a half at the most drive. So I was thinking,
right.
Oh, I'm almost there. Well, I get stuck. It took me over an hour to get over that bridge.
No way.
Yeah. And I was still okay, though. I mean, I was still awake. I was definitely tired by the time I got home, but I wasn't...
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't that tired when you've been driving a long time and your eyes keep closed, you know, your head bobbing kind of thing.
Oh,
It wasn't
good.
like that at all.
It was body exhaustion.
It was just like, ooh, I'm so ready to jump in bed when I get home kind of thing. So.
Yeah. Good.
So, I need to figure out how to have shorter answers to questions. Okay. Back to the recovery. So I drove home on Saturday, slept in, went to Scoob on Sunday, which I was pretty sore. My legs, it was hard walking up and down stairs. I kind of, going up wasn't too bad. Going down, I kind of had to go sideways.
Yeah, I know that feeling all too well.
Yeah, and then, and part of scuba class, we had to carry our tanks and all of our equipment down to the pool, which is in the basement. So we had to go down a couple flights of stairs. And that, actually... it was pretty tough, but I was kind of glad that I went to scuba afterward because from doing that and also from swimming around in the pool, I think it helped my recovery because it kept me moving, you know?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You're probably exactly right, yeah.
Because I couldn't stiffen up, you know?
Yeah.
So I did that on Sunday, and then... I'm trying to think. And then every day I ride my bike to work during the week, so that kept my legs moving too. And I think by about Wednesday I had pretty much started feeling okay. You know, like my legs weren't, the stairs weren't an issue anymore kind of thing. So it was probably...
Oh, that's really good.
It was a good solid 3 to 4 days before that kind of cleared up. So it wasn't too bad.
Good.
And
that is a testament to your body.
And I haven't run, it's been, as of today, tomorrow will be 2 weeks, and the first time I ran since the marathon was on Wednesday, which is about a week and a half after, and I felt a little sluggish, but I didn't feel sore or anything. I just felt sluggish.
Yeah.
But I've been riding my bike and swimming, actually, so that's been nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. That sounds great.
Yeah.
That's a good recovery. I had a terrible, terrible, terrible recovery. It was horrible.
Really? Like, how long?
Yeah. My knee was literally swollen for days and days. So I couldn't walk downstairs to save my life. I almost was in tears every time I had to walk downstairs.
Yeah. Man.
It was horrible. Or down, even down a slope. Anything downward facing was awful.
Yeah.
And that was for a whole week.
Wow.
And so, I mean, that was just, it was mainly just because of my knee, but that was horrible. I didn't think I was ever going to walk the same. But
yeah.
I wasn't too smart about my recovery either. But if I knew then what I know now.
Exactly. Yeah.
So,
no kidding.
Yeah, I'm excited about the next marathon. I'm excited about, super excited about tri-season.
Yeah. Do you know any races you're doing yet?
No, because.
Because you might be moving.
Because, yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we haven't announced that yet on the show.
Do you want to announce it or should I edit this?
Yeah, no, that's fine. I am moving from Texas to the great state of Arkansas.
Yes. So, yeah, we really are in transit because we don't stick around anywhere very long, do we?
I know. It seems like it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it'll be officially, I will have lived in Texas for 3 years.
That's pretty good.
Isn't that crazy?
I lived there for 3.5 years, about, so...
That's so weird.
That's long enough.
So yeah, exactly. I've had my dose of Texas.
Yeah.
Time to go back. But it's exciting. I'm excited to get back to Arkansas and do some of the races up there and see. Cause, you know, whenever I lived there before, I never really recognized the tri community there. But it's actually pretty big, which makes me really, really happy. So I'm excited to start in a new group. I'm actually going to join the tri-sport group there.
Cool.
And get involved in the races there. And do there's bike rallies all the time, too. So it's like, I'm just excited. And I think what I'm going to do in the middle of tri-season is run another half, if I can find one.
Yeah. Cool.
So,
you should come out here and run one. That'd
do
be cool.
Do you think they'll have them?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, then we can finally do our trip to New York. That would be great.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I'll have to look something up for you and see what there is. But I'm sure there's some halves around here.
Yeah, good. Yeah, because I actually want to plan out a season this time. Because usually I'm like, I pick up a race here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to actually have a set season this season and have goals to look forward to and I just want to be more organized this season.
That's
and that's what I'm really excited about. And
I
think joining a tri-sport club will help me do that. So
definitely, yeah. We'll it's
see.
Always good to have people to go to races with, too, and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, that was one thing about the marathon that kind of sucked. It was like I got to the end. And
you were just there by yourself.
And I was just like, okay, I did it. Now I'm going home.
Oh, that's awful. I feel horrible.
It was out of your hands, though. It's okay. You know. But, I'm still glad I went. It's not like I, you know. I'm glad I did it.
It's always so much better to share it with someone, though. So.
Sure, yeah. Oh, I should tell you that I planned out my tri season.
Oh, good. Okay, yes. Okay, you're starting next weekend.
Yeah, on this Sunday, I'm doing a duathlon. And I've never done a duathlon before, so that should be pretty interesting because I can talk about race strategies for those. I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't have a total strategy, but I'm going to pay attention to what other people do, and I'll report back if I have any tips. So
good.
Yeah, that one.
Okay, so tell us your tri season.
So I'm doing for May. That's my event for May. Basically, I'm doing an event each month. So. In June, I'm doing an Olympic distance, and that's June 16th, I believe. And in July, I'm doing a sprint. And then in August, I'm doing an Olympic again. And in September, this is the one that's kind of pending. I might be doing a half Ironman, but if I don't do the half Ironman, then I'll do another Olympic. But I haven't...
Wow.
It's kind of going to be judged on how my... the first couple, yeah, how my season kind of starts out. And, ooh, I forgot, too, with the triathlon club I'm starting, they're having an Ironman Lake Placid training camp on June 22nd through 24th, I believe. And it's open to everyone, even if you aren't training for an Ironman. You can do part of the course or whatever instead of doing the whole thing or eat. Like on the swim, instead of doing two loops, you can do one or that kind of thing. So I signed up to do that too, which is really cool. It's actually free for members. We just had to pay for like hotel and food and to get there.
What is it exactly now? It's like a boot camp.
It's not a race. It's just our tri club is going up there, and it's all going to be organized. And what we're going to do is on. That Saturday, we are going to ride the whole 112-mile bike course of Lake Placid. And then, this is what the plan is, but of course, if someone going that doesn't want to ride the whole 112, they can ride part of it, but I'm planning on riding the whole thing. And then, on Sunday, the plan is for everyone to do one loop of the swim course, so half of it. And then, which is 1.2 miles, and then the one loop of the run course, which is half also, and it's 13.1, so half marathon. So that's,
all on Sunday.
Yeah. So
basically you're doing a half Ironman plus more.
Yeah. Well, over a weekend. Over 2 days instead of, yeah.
Right.
So that's one reason. Wow. That's one reason I wanted to do it, to see how that goes, to see whether I could, to use that as a gauge for whether or not to sign up, actually sign up for the Half Ironman in September. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So what Half Ironman are you looking at?
There are two in Connecticut that are happening both on September 23rd. And one of them is called, I think, the Extreme Man, and it's on the shore. So, and you would swim in the Sound, the Long Island Sound. And then the other one is closer to Hartford. I believe it's in Washington, Connecticut, and that one's called the Nutmeg State Half Ironman. I think I can't remember exactly, but I'm trying to. I'm going to talk to some people in my triathlon club to see what their opinions are about the two, and then also kind of just do some more research to figure out which one I'd rather do. I think I might go for the one that's closer to Hartford, but I'm not sure. Yeah.
You know, I feel like, honestly, I feel like I could do a half Ironman except for the swim. I'm scared to death.
You need to get hooked up with your swim buddy, Sarah.
I know, but I've been traveling so much that I haven't had any time to meet up with her. And so, she's like, I'll coach you, no problem. But I just haven't been home. And so, like, that's been my only thing where I'm scared. I'm just scared of the swim. I'm not scared that I'm, like, going to drown or something. I just have the slowest. I have improved significantly, I'll say that.
Yeah.
I really have, but I'm still super duper slow. And I just feel like, since that's the first leg of the race, I just feel like I've start behind. And so it kind of just puts me in a downward motion, I feel like. And I'm just discouraged the whole time, I feel like, because I'm already behind the entire pack by the time I get out of the water. So then it's just frustrating to me.
You know, kind of a tangent, but... before you move back to Arkansas, you should look up one of the Run By Try races in there in the area, because those are the ones, or in your area in Dallas, that are run, bike, swim, you know?
Oh, yeah, they did that in reverse last year. That was the first one, wasn't it?
Yeah, and all the races in their series are, I believe their plan last year anyway was to do one every month. So you should look them up, because I bet you would like that a lot better.
I've been wanting to do that. Oh, my gosh. That would make me so happy. Because then I would start off with a run, which is my strongest, and then go to the bike, which is my second strongest, and then finish off with a who cares.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
That's totally my kind of try right there.
Yeah, you should look
actually,
it up.
You know what? That might make me a better swimmer, because then I'm like, okay, I've done so good now, I've got to keep going, you know?
Exactly. It would. So you wouldn't be discouraged to start off with, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. That actually is a great idea. And I could always come back down to Texas to do that, too.
That's true, yeah. And, well, I think they have certain sites, like one of them is Keller, Texas, one is Allen. Allen's up north more. And you know where Allen
that
is, right?
Close to where I live. Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, and then...
That's really close to where I live.
One, I think, is maybe Mesquite. I can't remember, but they have...
I think it is Mesquite, yeah.
I think they have, like, four different sites they rotate through. So, anyway, you should check them out, because maybe that would be cool to do one of those.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean,
I like them.
I like them too. I mean, I just did the one race with them last year at the end of the season, but I thought they ran a good race. So, anyway.
Yeah, I thought so too. Yeah.
Okay, so
good.
What's up with you as far as Tri 101? What have you been up to training?
Well, training wise, I've just been running, and I've been lifting all the weights still, because I'm trying to get stronger. I guess nothing's changed really with me. I'm just still trying to get my back stronger and all that. But I've been doing a lot of leg weights lately too. So, and I talked to a personal trainer.
Yeah.
He's not my personal trainer, but he is a personal trainer. And he told me, this is interesting, because usually, okay, from every other personal trainer, including my own, they've always told me to do half bodies, like whenever you're doing, whenever you're doing weights, like do upper body, then lower body, like.
Yeah, exactly.
One day do back and abs and arms, like upper body, and then the next day, or the next time, like, do legs. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff. But this personal trainer has been a trainer for a while, and he said, when you go lift weights, do full body weights. And so I don't know what the right way is, and so I'm kind of, but all the research I've ever done has always said half bodies, and all the personal trainers I've ever talked to have always said that, but
Did you ask him why?
No. Oh, I was just more like, really? But I have access to him all the time, so I'll ask him. But
I'm curious.
Yeah, so
I want to know why.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
But at the same time, I've never questioned why to do half body though.
Yeah, I haven't either.
I guess I just always
that makes sense to me to do half bodies, because you want your muscles to recover and gain the protein back, and then go again, because it's like your micro tear, like if you're trying to build muscle mass, you're doing micro tears, and you want those micro tears to heal and then tear again, so they'll get bigger.
But
because the more they tear, the bigger muscles you get, and I want bigger muscles. I want to be bigger.
But do you think it depends on how often you lift? So maybe if you only lift twice a week, then it'd be okay to do full body. But if you lift,
I would assume
every
would
other
assume
day.
So, yeah.
Then so how often do you lift?
I lift three times a week.
See that?
So, yeah. Maybe that's why you said that.
Maybe. Or
listen, as we're solving all the problems of the world.
It could be something to do with timing like that. But it.
Yeah,
may,
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Ask him though. I'm curious. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I will.
Okay. Good. So excellent. Now you just need to get. Now you just need to get in the pool.
Oh, I know. You know me though. I'm gonna put that off to the last freaking minute.
Yeah, I know. I just started it again. Well, I've been twice now since my marathon. Actually, Dang it! How many times have I been?
More than me.
I'm trying to think. Since my marathon, I almost said two, because I tried to go this. Well, I thought the pool closed at 8. So yeah, I went home, took a nap, and by the time I got up, I thought that the pool was about to close, but I wasn't sure on the pool time. So I called, and they're like, "Oh, it's open till 9." I was like, "Oh, great!" So I hurried up, got there, and got to the pool, like, actually into the, you know, get my stuff into the pool, and the lifeguard, I'm starting to, like, get ready, and the lifeguard goes, "Oh, the pool closes at 8:30. Like,
what?
No! And I look at the clock, you know, and it's just after 8:15, and I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not swimming tonight, so I missed the swim that night, and then I swam the next night, but I was thinking I swam twice, but I've only swam once, so, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, and then...
Well, at least you got in the water.
Yeah, exactly, so...
That's a step better than me.
But, and I've been running a couple times since the marathon, and I ran 5 miles the first time, and then just 3 the second, but it's all right, though. I'm just trying to you know, give myself plenty of recovery, and then before I, like, really start into it. But basically, that's over, because tomorrow I'm going on a 45-mile bike ride, so, yeah.
Oh, good. Good,
yeah.
Good.
So, I'm excited.
Well, cool. Good. I think that's dang it. I have something.
Oh, okay. Go.
You know who Chris Carmichael is?
Yes.
Well, he was at Plano Bike Store last night.
Yeah.
And I had to go and have him sign a book. And I'm so mad that I didn't get to go, but I had to pick up somebody from the airport. So I was like, dang it. And it was a very last minute, their plane got delayed kind of thing. So I had to miss Chris Carmichael.
Oh, sucks.
I know. I'm sad about that because I was so excited. I was going to bring my little recorder, ask him some questions. And I know someone who went, who got to go, and he said there was hardly anyone there and that he got to talk to him for like over 15 minutes. Just the two of them. I know. Isn't that cool?
I'm surprised no one showed up. How did you hear about it?
How did I hear about it?
Yeah.
Through a friend.
Oh, okay. I'm just wondering if they didn't advertise it very well. That's why.
You know, I had not heard it. I saw no advertisement for it at all.
Huh. Weird.
And I was actually surprised that he was at the Plano bike store instead of Richardson Bike Mart.
Maybe he's friends with the Plano people.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm bummed I didn't get to see it, but it was so cool that he was in my town.
Ooh, wait, I have a Stokes and Stellar.
Oh, good. Okay, what is it?
My Stokes and Stellar is that I am excited that I just got SCUBA certified.
Oh, yeah!
Yeah.
Okay, your life is so much cooler than mine right now. You're doing races, getting certified and stuff, and I'm traveling around working.
Well,
It's no fair. No fair. I'm so upset.
So you
I feel like you've got all the cool stories, and I'm just sitting there agreeing with you. Totally not fair.
Well, last weekend, I've been taking... If you haven't been following, I've been taking scuba lessons all this semester. I'm not in school, that is, but this school semester. And since January, anyway. And we finally had our checkout dives on this past weekend. Oh, by the way, I got to stop. Elizabeth's driving. That's why you hear all that extra noise in the background.
Oh, is it loud? Sorry. Yeah, I'm driving from Texas to Arkansas.
Yeah, there's just some road noise. So just kind of ignore that. But we just wanted to record. We just get the recording done. So. Okay.
Yeah.
So anyway.
I'm in transit.
Yeah, she's in transit as we speak. So anyway, so we did our checkout dives last weekend, and the first, on Saturday, we dove in Groton, Connecticut, and in the Long Island Sound, and then on Sunday, we dove in Rhode Island, in Jamestown, Rhode Island, in the Rhode Island Bay, so.
That is so cool. I'm so excited that you're certified in scuba.
I know, I'm really excited too, and they actually do, the dive shop that I took the class from, they do Wednesday night dives. They haven't started yet, but once they do, I'm on an email list with them, so they're going to email me when they start, and hopefully I can do some more diving this summer, so excited.
That's so great. That's super stuff, Kara.
Yeah, because the only trip that I have coming up, well, that's tentatively planned, is not until November. So, I mean, to go somewhere to do scuba diving. So I am hoping to keep up the my skills, you know. But I went, so that was really cool. I went 32 feet was my maximum. It's not super, super deep, but it was a lot deeper than the pool anyway.
that's a good distance for your first time, like, That's really good. For your open water first time out, that's great.
Yeah, and then also the water was only 42 degrees.
Whoa.
It was cold. We had 7mm wetsuits with hoods and gloves and booties and everything.
Nice.
The only like exposed skin was around like the opening in the hood and what around your mask, so like just part of your face. Yeah. It was the first day, especially right when you got in the water, you got like an instant headache. Like it's equitable to an ice cream headache, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of feeling, like that instant rush kind of. But then
That's weird.
Yeah, after a few minutes, you got used to it and it went away. But that was hard to get used to at first, so. Yeah, but it was
42 degrees. No, thank you.
Yeah, it was cold, and we saw. Oh, another stellar thing about the dive was, or both days, both days I saw horseshoe crabs.
That's really cool.
Yeah, those are the archaic-looking crabs that supposedly haven't changed in the past 3,000 years or something crazy like
right.
that. And
Yeah.
They're kind of weird-looking. They're like...
You know what they remind me of?
What?
They remind me of a cross between a triceratops and a crab.
Yeah. Okay.
And they just look like they're about to go in battle.
Well, yeah, and their shells look kind of like a turtle at first. They're kind of like a... almost a army greenish, grayish color. And, well, that's what they look like underwater anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah.
And they have this tail, like this spiky tail thing that looks like kind of like a stingray tail or something.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I don't know, they're just kind of weird looking. They don't look like a typical crab at all. And we saw a bunch of spider crabs, and we saw some sea anemones and some cool plants, and we did
say it again. That's always messed me up.
Oh, anemone.
Anemone?
Anemone, yes.
Anemone. Oh, good. I'm saying it right. Okay, good.
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, and then we saw a thing. I don't know if it's really a stingray, but it looked like a stingray, like a little one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You probably did, actually.
Well, I guess there might be all different kinds of them. Being from the Midwest, I'm not exactly much of an oceanographer, you know?
Right. That's so cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
I have something I'm stoked about.
What?
Okay, so my new house in Arkansas, I've just discovered recently that there is a mountain bike path that goes directly from my house to the gym.
That is really cool.
I know. I'm super stoked about that. Super duper stoked about that. And I live across the street from a gigantic park that I'm going to be in. It's a running park, too, so I'm super excited about that, too.
That's really cool. Is it a trail?
Yes.
Are there trails?
Mine isn't near as exciting as seeing, like, crabs and stuff, but are there trails in the park?
Yeah. Is it trail running or is it road running or what kind?
It's both. Yeah, it can, it's like sidewalk trails and then there's off course trails, like a trail run, and then there's road running too.
Okay, cool. That's
awesome.
I know,
it's the best of all worlds. I'm so excited.
Cool, dude.
There's so many perks.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm stoked about. Okay, it's time for this week's Exercise Your Brain, and we got some crazy awesome responses from our last show's random question that we had.
Yeah, actually, they're all right answers, too.
Yeah, they're all good answers.
We got, apparently, whenever we ask a random oddball question, that's when we get the best response. Right. So we had a response from Julia from Hawaii, Honolulu, I believe.
Oh yeah, that's so cool.
She gave us a cool answer, and then also, we'll play these two clips in just a second here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. And then our other answer came from Triboomer. He sent in a voicemail also, or left us a voicemail with the correct answer. And finally, Jamie, a.k.a. Red Bull, from Boston, I believe, he also gave us the right answer. He sent us an email, though. So we won't have it repeated three times, but here are the two little audio clips.
Hey, guys. This is Julia from Honolulu. Just heard your latest podcast. And I'm calling about the word of the day. I'm not sure of one of them, but as far as words that sound like sounds, like you hear a quick clickety clack or rough rough for dog, etc. The kinds of things you find in comic books. That's onomatopoeia, as I'm sure everybody, a lot of people already know. There's also something in Japanese, and this may be similar to the other word you're thinking of, and that's like onomatopoeia, but it's words describing things that don't have sounds, like describing a light shining and calling like a star shining kira kira and things like that, or something turning is guru guru, and something scattered or a mess is bada bada, and that's kind of cool. I think that's called symbolic or something like symbolism, some kind of sound symbolism. And I'm not sure what the word is in English, but okay, that's all. Love the show. Keep up the great work. See ya.
Hey, Kara. Hey, Elizabeth. Tri-Boomer here. I have an answer for your exercise the brain from an episode ago, and a word that is used to describe a sound is called an onomatopoeia. So like cling, clang, bong, those words which describe the sound that is made is an onomatopoeia. So that's my answer to your exercise the brain. And keep up the great podcast. I always have fun listening to you guys. I look forward to the next one. And stay tuned.
So thanks for calling in and sending an email, all three of you, Tri-Boomer, Julia, and Jamie. That's awesome.
Hello. Yeah, you guys rock.
We always love getting responses from our random questions.
I know. I get so excited when I get random voicemails, and I'm just like, yes, we got a voicemail for our show. So excited.
Yep.
Love
cool.
It. Yeah, and y'all are super smart for knowing that, too, because I knew that word. I knew the word, but I just couldn't remember it at the time, and I'm glad I couldn't because we got some good responses.
Yeah.
And I am super excited that we have a caller from Hawaii.
I know. That's so cool. I'm excited. And also,
and I hope she added herself to the Frapper map, too, because we need some Hawaiians.
I think she did. I saw someone on there from Hawaii.
Good.
This week, the question for Exercise Your Brain is more of a challenge, and that is for you to call in to our hotline and give us a race report, because we know that race season is starting or is already underway for those of you down south a little more, as far as
yes.
Triathlons go anyway. So that is our Exercise Your Brain or Jog Your Brain, and call in and tell us about your races. Our number is...
Yeah, and you know what? Oh, yeah, sorry, go ahead. What's the number?
Our number is 920-482-4822. One more time, 920-482-4822. Okay, you can call 24 hours a day.
Professional right then, Kara.
You can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave up to a 2-minute voice message.
Yes. So it doesn't matter what time. You can call us whenever. But... Oh, you know what else I'd like to know about our listeners is if anyone has started, since the new tri season or a new season starting, if anyone's decided to start a race resume.
Oh, start a race resume. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, let us know if you're just starting a race resume or if you are archiving, you know, going back into your archives and calling up your memory and recording everything.
Yes.
Either way.
I am definitely starting my race resume this year, or this season.
Give us a call or shoot us an email. You can find our email addresses on our website, which is intransitduo.com. Speaking of our website, please add yourself to our Frapper map. We get such a
kick. I love that thing.
I do, too. We get such a kick out of looking at who has added their name to that. And
I swear, I look at it every day, and I'm like, ooh, who else?
I do, too. I love seeing people from all over the place, and I especially love it when people put their pictures up there and put their name in instead of just leaving it anonymous, because that's really cool. All right, it's time for In the News this week, or this month, I should say.
Yeah, this show, anyway.
This show, yeah.
But, okay, you wanna know what I'm thinking, Kara?
What?
There's a lot of, okay, I'll just start with this. I got an email a couple of weeks ago with this picture. Oh, I sent you the email, didn't I?
Yeah. No, I sent it to you.
Oh, did you? Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I got this email
from
you a couple of weeks ago. It might have even been from 4 weeks ago. But anyway, it was of this super-duper old lady who was wearing a string bikini, or like a thong bikini, actually, and she had implants and obviously lots of plastic surgery done.
Except,
and it was,
yeah,
the most disgusting thing I have ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah,
I was just so grossed out.
Because it was like she had plastic surgery, like she had implants, but and maybe she had a couple other things done, but everything else is just, all of her skin was all saggy and like age spotty, and it's just disgusting. And
so that brings us to our in the news.
Yep.
And the question of plastic surgery and aging and, you know, pros and cons of both and, you know, drastic measures that people take to make themselves pretty at one point in their life, and then they just age and those things don't go with them.
Mm-hmm. And also kind of how a lot of these procedures are relatively new or
mm-hmm.
maybe are now starting to see the older people that got plastic surgery maybe when it first was really becoming more popular. Now they're you know, nursing home age, and we're seeing the effects. So it just makes you wonder long term what the effect of plastic surgery is going to be, because maybe the instant gratification is good, you know, you see these instant mm-hmm. results, but then, you know, 30 years down the road, what are you going to look like?
Right. Not even what you're going to look like, but how safe is it? I mean, it might be safe now for the terms that we have now, but, you know, exactly, 30 years down the road, what if those breast implants that you got when you were 25, what if the stuff that they use then has been found to cause cancer, and then what do you do then? And all the things that you have to think about before you do plastic surgery. It doesn't even go with implants alone. It's any kind of plastic surgery at all.
Right. Like, one thing that I've always been skeptical about, still am, I guess, a little, is LASIK eye surgery. Because I guess they do tell you that it won't last forever, but eyesight is something you don't want to mess with, you know? And how long has LASIK really been around? I mean, I honestly don't know. Maybe it has been around for a long time. I don't know.
It's been around for a really long time.
It has.
But the thing that worries me is there, even now they say new safer techniques, which makes you kind of go, oh, well, was I getting LASIK done when it wasn't safe, you know?
Well, yeah, exactly. And even another thing, too, is even if it has been around a long time, they, up until maybe the last 5 years or something, it hasn't been done in high volume. So
yeah, it's
maybe
extreme high volume now.
The people that they tested it on may have been all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
I mean, what if there's some section of the population that has a certain thing about their eyes that makes LASIK counteract after 30 years or
mm-hmm.
something, and then
mm-hmm.
so after 30 years you go blind? Or, you know,
exactly.
I mean, this could be just me being a skeptic and just freaking out about nothing, but you never know. I mean, if I'm doing an elective surgery, that's the thing about all this. It's elective. I want to make sure it has been tested and
on every demographic and every population.
And that there is a long-term meaning, like, well, for example, I'm 25, almost 26 years old, you know, still pretty young. If that means I have with how people are living these days, I mean, I hope I would probably have at least 60 years left in my life, you know? Probably, it could be more even. If I elected to have a surgery, well, here's an example that I probably will never do. But if I got breast implants or something, what could possibly be the over 60 years, you know, the
60 years.
Think about that. And I think that's one thing. If not the, maybe the issue is that maybe it is safe, but I think a lot of people these days aren't really considering the fact that plastic surgery is not a forever thing. It's not like you get implants and they're going to last 60 years, especially when you have girls that are turning 18 and getting a boob job as soon as they turn 18, you know, and even younger with their parents' consent or something. And
I went to high school with a girl who got a boob job in high school.
Nice.
I know. Yeah. Can you imagine? I mean, can you even imagine?
Yeah.
It doesn't seem to me like, I'm surprised a doctor, I'm surprised a physician would actually do that.
I know.
I don't know. That just seems crazy to me. But it happens a lot more than we probably realize.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's exactly. So, okay, here's a question for you. If you had to choose a plastic surgery to do yourself, which one would you choose? Not even now, but like in the future.
You mean something that, okay, if someone said you must get a type of cosmetic surgery, what would I do?
Right.
I think I would probably get my teeth fixed.
Your teeth? There's something wrong with your teeth.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would just make them look nicer, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. I wasn't thinking that kind of, yeah, no, that's good. That's a good answer.
Yeah. Well, because, I don't know, out of all the cosmetic surgeries, I feel like, well, but even having two perfect teeth is kind of weird, you know? If someone has, it's kind of unnatural. I wouldn't want my teeth to be too perfect, but that's one thing I don't not like my teeth, you know, but I just wish that, or, you know, that's one thing I have thought about, like, you know, having some nicer white, like, pearly whites, like some of the celebs, you know?
The celebs.
Yeah.
I think maybe, you know, 20, 30, 35 years down the road, if I would probably consider a facelift, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know, but I have a lot of collagen in my face. Nobody in my family really has a saggy face, so that probably wouldn't even be an issue.
Well,
but that might be one I would do.
Here's one for you that I've thought about. What about...
okay.
Well, two parts to it. First of all, think about the young girls that get plastic surgery, and then this is before they're married and have kids or anything. And just the effect that pregnancy will have on their bodies.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
exactly.
The thing I don't understand, and maybe I just need to research it, is what happens when someone gets breast implants, but then they get pregnant? Like, what about, what if there's, like, no room for expansion there? You know what I mean?
Yeah, no kidding.
Like,
I know. Yeah, because that is, sure, I'm sure that's an issue, I would assume.
Yeah, and I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I've heard that women can still breastfeed even if they have implants. But I don't know. I'd be kind of worried about leakage or something. I don't know. It just seemed kind of toxic.
Are you serious? I didn't realize that they could.
I think so. I think so.
Wow. I didn't know that. That's good information.
But I don't know. I don't know. That's kind of weird to me. And then, okay, and then on the other side of that coin, still, it seems like we've been talking about pregnancy a lot lately, which I don't know why. It's not like either one of us are close to being pregnant. But But my other thing is that I would maybe consider is, depending on what kind of toll having kids would take on my body, maybe having like a tummy tuck or something like that.
Yeah. That's true.
Or like,
but later down the road.
Yeah. And you know how another thing that would suck too is, I don't think it would be an issue with me because I don't have big breasts, but you know how sometimes when women have kids and their boobs end up hanging down by their waist, you know,
right?
Because
so I get a little lift. Yeah.
Yeah, that would suck. But
yeah. See, I'm just so, for me personally, there's no way that I'm going to have something implanted in me that doesn't need to be there.
See, yeah.
That is just not going to happen.
That's the thing. I think if I had to, you know, divide up the procedures and, like, rank them or something as far as what I think's worst and what's not or something, I would definitely say anything where you're actually implanting something is not good. But
yeah,
if you're removing, you know, like a facelift or, like, something where you're removing something, or, you know.
Yeah, moving or removing, yeah.
Moving or removing. Yeah. That, I know it doesn't make any sense, but to me that seems
more feasible than the implant.
Yeah,
I completely agree with you. But there's some people that just don't even care, and they're like, do whatever, make me pretty. And so that's their choice, that's fine. But I just want to know about the safety, long-term safety of those things, especially now since it's becoming so prevalent that people are doing it so casually even these days, it seems like.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I would like to know.
Yeah, I think, yeah, exactly, that's my main concern, even though I really don't think, I mean, I can never say for certain, but I don't think I will ever get plastic surgery. But the only way I would is if, let's say I was in a car accident.
Well, I mean, that's plastic surgery, not cosmetic.
More like corrective. If it was like reconstructive surgery, then that I would definitely do that, but not.
Yeah, that's a whole other ball game.
As I am now, I don't really, I'm pretty comfortable with how I am, you know?
Yeah, I am too. Yeah. Luckily.
Yeah. Anyway, so I don't know where exactly we're going with that, but it's just,
so if anybody has any disastrous stories or recommendations or knows, like, something that would be beneficial to this conversation, feel free to give us a call.
Yeah. And, one last thing, too, is, I also wonder about athletes and plastic surgery. If they're, I wonder what the, actually, what I'm really curious about are statistics on that. I wonder, my guess is, could be totally wrong, but
I'm with you on it. I know what you're even going to say.
My guess is actually that number of people get plastic surgery that are athletes is lower than.
I would completely agree with you.
Than the rest of the, whatever, world.
Yeah. I would think so too.
Yeah, but at the same time, though, a lot of athletes I know are kind of vain. You know, that's one reason work out is out of vanity. So.
Yeah. I mean, I'll admit it too. That's a lot of the reason why I do it. Just. Because I just don't want to let myself go.
Exactly.
So
who knows? I don't know. I'd like to do a blind study on that.
I would too. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's it. In the news this week.
So now, moving on, it's time for Word of the Week.
Wow.
Wow. And I have one. Back to our tradition of I get the word, I have the word, and Elizabeth guesses what it means.
Elizabeth makes a fool of herself.
Okay, the word this week is sycophant.
Okay, spell it.
S-Y-C-O-P-H-A-N-T.
A-N-T? Sycophant?
Sycophant, yeah.
Man. Okay, I'm going to say, okay, here's my guess. This is completely off the wall. I'm getting the SYC part. It's making me think of sync or cyclical or cyclical, even though it starts with an S. So I'm going to say coming to get, like the coming together of something.
Okay. No. Right, good guess.
Okay, what is it?
It's a noun, and it's a self-seeking, servile flatterer, or fawning parasite. So, for example, a servile self-seeker who attempts to win favor by flattering influential people. So kind of a suck-up.
Oh, okay. You're such a sick pant. I'm totally going to use that today.
Just sick of pants, yep.
Stop being such a sycophant. Oh, I love it. Is S-Y-C-P-H-A-N-T? S-Y-C-A?
S-Y-C-O-E-H-A-N-T.
Oh, sycophant.
Sycophant, yep.
Oh, that's my new favorite word. I love it. Stop being such a sycophant.
And then there's some other, like, the etymology of it.
Yeah, what is that? Cause
let's see.
Sick is something and fant is something else.
Let's see, it from Greek, sycophantes, originally one who shows the fig. And showing the fig was a vulgar gesture made by sticking the thumb between two fingers, a display which vaguely resembles a fig, itself symbolic of a... Oh, this is what it says. Wait, I don't think I can say this word. Yeah, I'm not going to say it. Symbolic of...
Oh!
It's symbolic
okay.
of a girl part.
Okay.
Wait, hang on. The story goes that prominent politicians in ancient Greece held aloof from such inflammatory gestures, but privately urged their followers to taunt their opponents. Anyway, okay, so that is your word of the week.
That's a great word of the week. I love it.
Sycophant.
Okay, so who out there is hungry?
Actually,
I love this section. This is my favorite section.
It's the No Name Nutrition section. Coming at us. And this week, we have first a little comment thing. I was listening to the excellent podcast, Zen and the Art of Triathlon.
I love it.
Brought to us by Brett and Emily and Kai. And
I was going to say that. It's funny.
And this is a few episodes ago, actually, of Zen and the Art, a few episodes of his show. Ago. And Brett was talking, he was actually commenting on how we were talking about, we mentioned something about eating food for what it has instead of what it doesn't have, and we didn't really know what that meant because we weren't really thinking clearly.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't really
gather that, but
it seems so obvious now.
Yeah, so he was just saying that, well, pretty much, he was just talking about what it means you should eat food, try to think about what you're eating. You want to eat things that are nutritious instead of looking at something like, oh, does this have fat or not? You know, you
mm-hmm.
like eating something because it's fat-free, but it might not offer anything beneficial. Like, is it better to eat something that... I don't know. Help me out here.
Contains more vitamins or minerals, or, you know, if you need more carbs in your diet, should you eat something with a ton of carbs and a lot of fat, or should you eat something with a ton of carbs that's low in fat? But I think what that was alluding to was that you have to look at food for what it does have and not what it doesn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what I'm trying to say is that if you need more calcium in your diet, drink milk. And don't worry so much if it's whole milk or skim milk. Drink it because you're needing more calcium.
Yeah, and well, or also I think to not go to extremes. Brett was actually kind of talking about how people are so obsessed with eating fat-free and fat-free things or low-calorie things and blah blah. But maybe the things they're eating are kind of void of anything really good for you.
Right. Exactly.
And so you should look at really the good way to do it is to look at both things. So look at what it does have for you and
mm-hmm.
also look at what it doesn't have. So kind of find
right.
a happy medium. So
right.
if something is low in fat, for example, maybe there's a fat-free option and there's a low-fat option, but the low-fat option also offers you something good. So maybe it's better to go with the low-fat option because...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's a really good point.
Yeah. So...
Example. Really
basically look at the pros and the cons, not just the cons.
Yeah. And spend your time grocery shopping. Like, I take forever to grocery shop. I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do because I'm always like, ooh, look at this new thing. And then I read it and then I see all about it. I love doing that stuff.
Yeah. I don't.
I don't.
Well,
I really
you know what I do. I like to if I have a good store to go to. But, you know, I have to say one thing so far about Connecticut that I'm a little disappointed about is
mm-hmm.
that there's no Central Market or Whole Foods here close to me. And,
at least you have Whole Foods.
No, there isn't.
Oh, I thought you said there's no Central Market, but there's a Whole Foods.
No, there's no either of those.
Yeah, me either, now that I live in Arkansas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a store that is kind of like a health food store, but it doesn't have, like, the thing I liked about Central Market and Whole Foods is it had good, really good produce sections. But
yes.
I think there are some markets that are around that do sell some good produce. I've talked to some people at work,
mm-hmm.
and but the thing of it's more laziness on my part, I think, because I just like Central Market or Whole Foods because it was still like a one stop shopping place, but
yeah,
really good quality food. But now, since I don't have that, I would have to make a special stop for produce and then make a special stop for, you know, like dry foods. And
right.
You
know. I
know.
That's so inconvenient. But
and,
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's expensive, too. So, and I'm not exactly rich.
Right. I know. And one of the good things about Central Market and Whole Foods, too, is that they have such a huge selection. And it's all really good.
Exactly.
I love the produce section. That's my favorite section of any.
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Speaking of Whole Foods, I've got a story.
Okay.
Okay. So my friend Sarah and I we went to eat at Whole Foods. And after we were finished, we went grocery shopping because that's what we like to do.
Yeah.
And I was walking down the aisle and came across this, I guess, kiosk-looking thing that had a whole bunch of weird bottles. And I was like, ooh, what is this? I wonder what this is. And, of course, me, I read it, figure it out. Anyway, it was for just like a 16-ounce bottle, it was $9. And I was like, what in the world is this? It must be really good. And it was just juice. And it was called goji berries.
Okay.
And it was called something else, but the juice was from a goji berry. Anyway, it was this bright orange drink and thing, and I was like, I wonder what that is. It's probably packed full of good stuff or something because it's $9 for 16 ounces. It better be good. And so Sarah goes ahead and buys one.
Whoa.
And she's like, I'm going to try it out. I know.
Was it concentrate or something?
No. No, it's like you just drink it. Like a, you open it up and drink it.
Like a sports drink kind of thing, huh? Like, or like, well, it's not like a one serving thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, there were, I read the back, there were two servings one bottle.
Okay.
So she buys one. I'm like, I'm so curious. Let me know what it does. And it says, you know, that it's really good for you. I mean, it was just like going off on how good it is for you and blah, blah, blah. It's going to give you whole new life, basically, is what I was saying.
Mm-hmm.
So as we were checking out, this guy comes up to us, and so he works there. And he is like, hey, would y'all like to try a drink of goji berry juice? And I'm like, oh, she just bought a bottle. And the bottle that he was holding was a big bottle. Mm-hmm. And he pours it into this little ramekin cup, and it was almost black. And
okay.
I was like, that is not anything looking like that bright orange stuff that she just bought. And he was like, oh, she just bought goji juice? And she was like, yeah, here it is. And he's like, oh, that's not goji berry juice. That's, you know, 45% goji berries, and the rest of it's just preservatives and crap. And so I was like, okay, let me try this. And so he was like, don't sip it like a juice. He was like, you're going to have to do it like a shot. And I'm like, are you serious? He was like, trust me, just do it like a shot. So I shoot this goji berry juice, and it tasted like complete crap. And the bottle that he had was $36.
Whoa.
And so, I know, it was 100% goji berry juice. And I was like, so what is this stuff supposed to do for me? And he was like, he said, I've been drinking this stuff for over a year. And he said, my life is totally transformed. He's like, I do 2 ounces every single morning before I eat and on an empty stomach. And this is how I wake up in the morning and blah, 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 blah. And he was just telling me all the benefits. He's like, I'm so thankful that we ordered it finally and got in the stores, because he's like, I've been looking all over this stuff forever. It's hard to find.
But
blah, blah, blah.
What does it do?
It's just a very,
what was life-changing about it?
I know. I don't know. For him, I don't know. But he was saying, well, let me get to that.
Okay.
Anyway,
sorry.
So I'm like, whatever. You're crazy. You know, I was like, you really attribute your wellness on this juice. And he was like, yeah, I really do. And he's like, come with me. And so I go with him, and he gives me this book, and he gives me a CD. And he was like, you've got to listen to these. Just take them with you. Take them. And he was like, after you listen to the CD and read over this thing, you will come back and buy a bottle. And I'm like, okay. So, I mean, this guy just worked there. It's not like he was trying to sell me something, you know. He just worked there. And
wait, was this
so
like his personal copy of this stuff?
No. They had it stashed in the back. They had it stashed in the back. So he had to go, like, upstairs to the office to get it.
Okay.
Anyway, so I listened to the CD, and I read the whole little pamphlet thing that he gives me, and you know what? I'm completely sold. I have to get me a bottle.
What is it? Tell me about it. Like, what about it?
Okay, well, basically, it's a little tiny red berry that grows in, like, extremely harsh conditions in the Himalayan mountains, blah, 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 blah. It's very hard to get to berry, and it doesn't grow native here. Well, actually, some of it does, but it's not under the conditions that you get the most nutrients from it.
Okay.
So the bottle that he was selling, or not that he was selling, that I tried, was from the Himalayas. And this doctor, I think his first name is Lindsay. I don't remember his last name. But anyway, this doctor is just so, a wellness doctor and an alternative medicine physician and blah, 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 blah. Okay, so basically this berry is supposed to give you, if you drink the 100% goji berry juice, it's supposed to completely improve your immune system, your thyroid, if you have any issues, digestion, anything like that at all. It's supposed to completely fix it. So if anybody, which poses my question here, if anybody knows anything about this goji berry, what?
Here's the exercise your brain.
Oh, yeah, okay, exactly. If anybody knows anything about goji berries, and if anybody's actually, I don't want to know about it because I've heard all about it.
Yeah.
But I want to know if you've tried it and if you have found any differences in your life since you've taken the berry juice. Because I'm completely sold on it. I don't know why, but it seems really legit. And I've got to know if people out there are trying it, because
did you feel
I gotta
any
hear
difference
some results
that day after you took it?
No, I had just eaten, and he was like, oh, you won't do anything today because you just got done eating and blah, blah, blah. So, but no, I didn't feel any different. But, so Sarah goes back and buys a $36 bottle. And she said that she took it the next day in the morning, like when she was supposed to, and she said, wait, I forgot to tell you this part. There's this guy in, I think it was China. I'm pretty sure it was China, who is supposedly the oldest living man in the world of all time. He's dead now. But anyway, so he drank the goji berry juice, too. So I was like, oh, good. Longevity, that's what I need. So so I'm just sold on it. I've got to hear some results and if people have taken it and are doing it or whatever. I've asked everybody I could ask that I would potentially know anything about it. And everyone's like, I've heard of it, but I've never tried it. So I don't know. I need to know.
Huh, I'm intrigued. I don't think I'm going to run out and buy a bottle, but... did Sarah like her $9 bottle?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we didn't even talk about the $9 bottle. I actually got the $36 bottle one. So,
man.
So, yeah. I am definitely interested in nutrition. I would love to know.
Yeah, cool, dude. Interesting.
Yeah.
Excellent. So that is nutrition segment for this show.
Is that it?
Yes. Yes, we have a pump-up song next.
I'm excited to hear it. I'm excited to hear Kara's choice this week.
Yep.
Thanks, Tri-Boomer, and thanks, Julia, for calling in, and also our friend
Jamie.
Red Bull.
Yes, Red
in
Bull.
Boston.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you all for sending us information this week. That was awesome. We always get so excited. Keep those emails coming.
And now to wrap up this show, we have an excellent pump-up song for you by singer-songwriter Scott Sweeney out of Chicago. The song is titled Morning Won't Fade Away. And you can check out more about him and his band at myspace.com/ScottSweeneyandTheJetPilots.
I hope this time you hear this. I feel 1,000 miles away from the place where I last saw you. When you told me there's nothing left to say, I don't care if you are with me, but I wanna make sure you're okay. So what can I always now? So it's nothing to me tonight. Sleep at night. I hope this time you hear this. I feel 1,000 miles away from the place where I last saw you. When you told me there were left to say, the morning never comes when you don't sleep at night.